Chapter 8, verse 18. And he said unto them, Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without enter into a man, it cannot defile him? That's talking about food now. Yeah. Amen. It's not talking about drugs, whiskey, and poison. Right. Now, if you don't think poison will defile you, you just swallow a big gob of it. Amen. And it'll kill you just the same as anybody else if you do it on purpose. Amen. He's talking about food that you eat and meat that you eat. Amen. And go ahead and ask the blessing over it and eat it. Amen. He asked a preacher down in Arkansas. He was a great preacher, had a great revival, Batesville, Arkansas, and great things accomplished. He was out at Brother Wall's house, a big table full of people, and Brother Wall asked him, what about pork? Is it a sin to eat pork? And this preacher, very authoritative, he rolled his eyes around to him and said, You asked a blessing on it, didn't you? He said, Yes, go ahead and eat it then. Amen. It's not the pork that defiles you. It's not the catfish nor the chicken. Amen. That's not what defiles you. Because it is not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. That means food. Purging all food. Amen. Cleansing all food. And he said, That which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Amen. All these things start in the heart. Again, we read and listened to the newscast about a man down in some oil company or some place that walked in and killed a whole bunch of people. We read about a man that killed about six people in another place a few days ago in a subway. We read about a heretic sect in Japan that killed a whole bunch of people and poisoned a whole bunch more by poison gas in a subway. And every day the blazing headlines tells us about some murder, or murders in the plural. Yes. Amen. In the Journal News, it recounted the death of 11 members of one family right here in Hamilton, Ohio, some 30 years ago, 25 years ago, somewhere along in there. Amen. And that man that killed 11 members of his own family is still in prison and probably will be the rest of his life. Amen. Terrible things happen and are happening today. The sad thing about it is all of it's not getting in the news. I mean, people are so glued to their televisions to get another piece of news about O.J. Simpson that the devil could grab the whole world and run off with it and nobody'd know what happened. Amen. I mean, the rebels are just about to take over Sierra Leone. Amen. They're about to take over a dozen different nations in Africa, and you don't hear one bit of news about it. Why? We're busy listening to O.J. We're busy, amen, being the judge and the jury. Oh, God, amen. I'm telling you today, Iran could have the atomic bomb and drop it before a lot of people would know what happened. Amen. We're in a world today that is so preoccupied with sin that it has very little time for anything else. Here's my title, Brother Billy. I'm preaching tonight on mind wars. The war that's going on in your mind. Since Reaganomics, we've heard a lot about Star Wars. Boy, I mean, we've heard a lot about bouncing lasers off of satellites and knocking enemy targets out of the sky by the jolt of a terrific energy bolt of a laser beam. Amen. And we've talked about Star Wars. Amen. Ah, yes, and they've wrote books about it. And then we're talking about other wars, drug wars, and so on and so forth. The war against drunken driving. But the biggest war that must be won before any of these other serious conflicts can be affected one iota is this mind war tonight. Amen. The war that's going on in our mind. Amen. So I'm talking about the biggest battle of all. Amen. We know the battle's going on in the minds of men, and the devil's got a lot of little helpers. Amen. And he suggests things to the minds of men. Amen. This was so strong when Jesus told about his going up to Jerusalem to die, and the signal was so strong that Peter heard himself mouthing what the devil had put into his mind. He said, the Lord, he began to rebuke Jesus and said, be it far from you. Amen. And Jesus turned and looked at Peter and said, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan. What was he doing? He was trying to help Peter with his mind war. Not only was he trying to help Peter, he was resisting the devil himself. Amen. The devil was using Peter to discourage Christ from his destiny. And he'll use anybody that he can to discourage you from your destiny. Jesus was destined for the cross, and he knew it. He didn't need anybody to discourage him. He needed Moses and Elijah to talk to him about it on the mountain. Amen. That's why they came down. He needed angels to minister to him in Gethsemane. He didn't need any discouragement from the work of God and the saving of souls. He needed help. Amen. That's why he agonized. That's why he cried out. That's why he sought God. Amen. Here is the biggest battle of all. Here is what preachers and laity win or lose. Many a preacher has flew up and resigned his church, not because it was God's will, but because it was a mind battle. Amen. Years ago, Brother Bernie Edwards told us in a meeting that one time he resigned his church. It wasn't the fault of his church. It wasn't because he might have had problems in the church. He told us, he said, the trouble was me. Amen. And when he got me straightened out, when he got himself straightened out, he was able to stay with his church beyond retirement years, praise God, and did a great work in Kellyville, Oklahoma. Amen. The war is won or lost in the mind. Oh, yes. He's got a lot of little helpers, the devil has. Amen. Man, he's got the entertainments. He's got the lascivious, voluptuous, murderous, wicked, evil, foolish entertainments of this world. The magazine racks are packed with such folly and such filth. Amen. That it ought to be against the law what is going on today. Amen. I mean, the devil's helpers are working night and day, turning out the tabloids, the magazines, and even the magazines that once were considered good and family fair, amen, have fallen prey to the sex cell that has gripped all the others. Nowadays, you can't sell a product unless you've got a naked woman on the cover to get the attention of the people. The devil's got a lot of little helpers tonight. Amen. The war is going on. We know that, don't we? Everybody that knows it, say amen. If we can win here, we can win other places. Men today fall prey to money and wealth and just to the very devil that possesses them, amen, and become the editors, the writers of their filthy dreams. Their wicked lies are put on paper, things that never happen, amen. There have been so many movies about the wild Indians of the West, amen, that we become wild Indian minded. But really, there were very few people killed by the Indians that went West. I read one figure that said 32 people were killed by the Indians as the people traveled West. Yet we've been led to believe by the constant writings and the constant editions and the constant movies and the constant horse operas, amen, that the Indians slaughtered, murdered a whole lot of white people going west. When the truth is, there were a whole lot more Indians murdered, killed, and pillaged than there were white people. Amen. But we have fallen prey to the modern media. Amen. Our mind has become blinded by deception. Amen. You know what your big battle is. It's in your heart. But the question is, how do we win it? Billy Graham said you can't keep the birds from flying over your head. Talking about evil thoughts being suggested. Amen. Is it a sin for an evil thought to cross your mind? Amen. And on that occasion, Billy Graham said, you can't keep the bird from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Amen. Amen. I remember maybe it was my mother one day, I was out in the yard and some bird building a nest flew down and plucked a hair out of her head to build a nest with. But he didn't hang around very long. Amen. And I don't think you would allow one to hang around very long either. Amen. Fight. Here's the cure. Fight. Praise God. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Let me read you in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For we walk not in the flesh, and we do not war after the flesh. Here Paul infers that there is a war going on. Amen. We're warring. But he said, for our weapons of our warfare, get that? You heard it, didn't you? Are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What kind of strongholds? Casting down imaginations. The biggest nation in the world is imagination. Amen. And you know where it's built? Right in your head. Right in your mind. And right in your heart. Ideas, ideologies, doctrines, heresies. Amen. My God, every wicked, false, Religion today has its roots in the mind and heart of men. Amen. One fellow, the man that wrote the book 30 years, a Watchtower slave, said, I never could get over my slavery until I locked myself in the closet without one bit of Jehovah Witness material, with nothing but the Bible, and read that Bible and prayed until I got victory. It had his mind. It captivated his mind. He dedicated his book to his father, who on his dying bed said, Son, we have been wrong in our religion. Where does false religion reign? It reigns in our mind and in our hearts. Amen. How can those folks be so bold knocking on Brother Hughes' door and propagating the gospel according to Rutherford and a few other false teachers of Bible bygone years? Amen. Not Bible years, but bygone years. Amen. Who don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and that Jesus rose bodily from the dead and is coming back again? Amen. Glory to God. I backed them in a corner right up there in front of the hedge in my yard one day, and I told them if they didn't believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God and didn't rise from the dead, neither one of us have got any business talking about religion. All our faith is vain. Amen. They said, well, we are Jehovah's Witness. Back them in a corner further enough, and they'll tell you they're not Christ's witnesses. They are Jehovah's Witness. Amen. Glory to God. Where is it? It's in their mind. They have laid a foundation. They have poured a footing. They have built walls in the imagination of their heart. Praise God. We need the right kind of weapons. We need the power of God. Brother! It's when Paul the apostle came by, who had spent 3 years fasting and praying at the feet of Jesus, couldn't break the stronghold in Corinth, Ephesus, amen, and wherever he went, amen, you might as well forget it. Amen. He said, if our gospel it's hid to them that don't know God. Amen. If any man, twice in Galatians chapter 1, though he were an angel from heaven, teach any other doctrine than that when I have preached to you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again. If any man, though he were an angel from heaven, where's the devil trying to get to us at? In our mind. Where does he sow division in the church? In our mind. And after we entertain it so long, then we give voice to it. We give lip service to the devil's lie. And once we've entertained it in our mind and then give lip service to it, something else takes hold. And right in church, pride. Religious pride. Amen. There's one thing you can't have and win this war, and that's pride. Amen. Hallelujah. How do you win it? Fight. Fight. He said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. And bringing into captivity. What do you do when you win the war? You take captive the enemy. Amen. Bringing into captivity. Praise God. When Sergeant York attacked that machine gun nest of the German trenches single-handed, amen, he ran behind what cover he could find and kept moving as they rained machine gun bullets at him. He would stop and fire, and another German would go down. He had trained himself to aim quickly and fire quickly. Every head that peeped itself up behind the bulwarks of a machine gun nest went down until there were no more. And Sergeant Alvin York was in the nest himself, looking right down the German trenches. Amen. And when he began to pick them off, the one at the end first, like he shot turkeys in Tennessee. Amen. He got the last one first so the rest wouldn't be spooked. Well, everybody looked around and saw so many of their comrades were dead, they thought a whole company had surrounded them. Amen. And they waved the white flag, and Sergeant Alvin York had so many prisoners, he had to march a long ways with all his prisoners before he could find any compound big enough to take them. What did he do? When he won, he took captive the enemy. Amen. Praise God. Woo! He said, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Hallelujah. How do you win? You take captive every evil thought and then take revenge on the flesh. In order to win this war, you got to kill the flesh. That cross we bear is not to plate with gold and hang around our neck. It's to die on. Kill out the old man on. Die out to self. Die out to pride. Amen. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. Let me go on. James chapter 4, praise God, gives us another idea of how we win this war. Draw nigh to God. Well, let me go back to verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Fight! Resist! Amen. Don't feed the devil! Fight him! How many of you, if the devil came knocking on your door, would say, come on in, Mr. Devil, if you knew who he was, and fix supper for him? Hmm? Amen. Did you know it says in your Bible to make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof? Amen. Backsliding is such a serious thing, you got to plan to backslide. If something goes on in your heart before you backslide, before you go down there and do that, you got to mull it over and plan how to do it and premeditate it. Amen. The Bible said resist. Don't feed the devil. Resist him. That's why we preach separation from the world. Separation from the things that take your time and mind from God. You need to draw nigh to God. And he said, verse 8, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Amen. There's a big problem. Being double-minded. Amen. That's trying to have all the world and have Jesus too. I tried that. The first year I was saved, a little voice said, when this conviction wears off, you can go back to some of the things that you once enjoyed. And you know what? I did. I went back to the world. Yeah. Amen. I went back to the world. The things of the world. You know what I said? I said what sinners said to me, what sinners in my family said to me all along. It's not what you do, it's what you make it. It's not what you listen to, the movies you go to that's wrong. It's whether you make it wrong or not. Amen. And I said, just like they said, you can have all of these things and have Jesus too. You can have all of these things and have Christ too, and be saved too. And you know what? I tried it. I tried it as serious as any 15-year-old boy can try it. Amen. I lost the war. The world took over. while I was still going to church. Guilt, fear, condemnation took over while I was still going to church. And I persisted in my rebellion so long, amen, that I felt like God had departed from me and I never could get saved. I told my whole family, it's too late for me. I'm doomed. I never can get saved. The life was gradually ebbing from my body. But you know what I did? Amen. I cut off the world. I mean, I cut it off. I cut off the things I was reading. I cut off the things I was indulging in. Amen. I became afflicted and began to mourn and weep. Amen. I let my laughter be turned into mourning. Amen. I became afflicted and mourned and wept. At first I couldn't even weep. But I let my laughter be turned to mourning. Finally I got to where I could cry. And I cried myself to sleep. My joy turned to heaviness as I humbled myself in the sight of the Lord. And praise God, He lifted me up. Amen. He goes on to say, and it's not by accident, speak not evil one of another. Brethren, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law. You know what? The first thing happens when you're losing this mind battle, you begin to speak evil of your brother. Amen. You begin to realize suddenly that you're no worse off than 75% of the church, or shall we say as many do as most of the people that go to church. Huh? You ever hear anybody? I know I'm not doing right, but amen. I'm no worse off than he is or she is. Amen. Hey, the battle's not with she or he. It's here and here. Amen. It's in here. Amen. Doe Jones told that widow lady that was making a play for him in his widowhood. Amen. He told her, said, you're looking too low. He had his checkbook in his shirt pocket. Carried it in his shirt pocket all the time. Said, you're looking too low. Look up here at these wrinkles. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, we need to look a different place. Amen. We need to look within. There's where the battle is. Amen. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He'll lift you up. Speak not evil of one another. It's not your brother that's stealing your victory. No! I'll tell you who's stealing your victory. Look at him in the morning in the mirror when you get up. That's the one. You're listening to the wrong stuff, reading the wrong stuff, wasting your time with the wrong stuff. Amen. And you haven't got any time to seek God, be afflicted and mourn. Amen. Glory to God. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? What are we supposed to do then? We're supposed to judge ourselves. Amen. Keep our own heart clean. Amen. Amen. Keep our own heart pure. Fight. War. Humble yourselves. Praise God. And then last but not least, we need to get help. Amen. And that's the big reason for fellowship. The right kind of fellowship. We need prayer help. We need the exhortations of one another. We need the encouragement of one another. Amen. We need to bury ourselves in the Word of God. Like the man that wrote 30 years of Watchtower Slave, shut himself in the closet with nothing but a Bible. Amen. He knew he was wrong for 30 years. But he couldn't break the chains of his mind. He said he did. He knew they were doing wrong. He knew the policies of Jehovah's Witness and the Watchtower Society was wrong. And he got into a lot of trouble with them. Amen. And they even disciplined him at times and put him down. But he still couldn't break free. The chains were fast shackled around his mind. Amen. Pictures in his mind of his old dying daddy in Germany who said, "Son, we've been wrong in our religion." He knew it from that moment on, because dying men don't lie. Men about to go to hell know it. Don't lie. Amen. A testimony of dying men, if they're rational in any way, shape, form, or fashion, can usually be trusted. Amen. We've been wrong in our religion. Amen. John R. Rice told about the man that was steeped in Freemasonry. That was his religion. That was his pathway to heaven. Amen. In his dying hour, he called the worshipful master the master of the lodge. Amen. Grand master of the lodge to his bedside. And he said, "Oh, worshipful master, we've been wrong. We've been wrong and died without God. All idolatry, all false religion, all heresy, all wrong ideologies and ideas had its beginning. The seeds were sown in the heart. An obligation and a fellowship was established that was wrong. You need to get help, and you need to get the right kind of help. Don't go to somebody that's as in bad a shape or worse than you are and talk it all over." Amen. Amen. Don't go to another gossip if you're down sitting as gossip. If you're besetting sin as gossip, don't go to another gossiper. They can't help you. Amen. If you're an addict of any kind to anything, don't go to another addict. They'll encourage you that it's not too bad, that it's no worse than such and such and so and somebody else or something else. Amen. Go to somebody that knows God. Get help. Amen. The Bible said concerning those that had erred, he said, "Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one." Amen. You're going to have some power to restore people. Amen. If you're so unspiritual that all you can do is gossip and slander, amen, and spread bad news, amen. The trouble about a brother that I mentioned before in this message was that day and night on his job and in his business place, he talked about church affairs right in front of sinners coming and going continually. Amen. You can't do that and have the Spirit and the power of God. With friends like that, what does the church need with enemies? Amen. Great Lord, praise God, we need to be spiritual. What does it mean to be spiritual? It means to have power. He said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Praise God. It takes power to restore. It takes power to truly change men. Prayer help, fasting help, spiritual help, if you please. Get help. Hallelujah. Surround yourself with spiritual advisors, Holy Ghost people. People who are living an overcoming life. Praise God. Amen. If you're backslid, don't go to another backslider. Who was it told me the other day? Amen. About praying through. And he asked somebody to help him pray that was a backslider, been to church. And he couldn't help him, but he told him what to do. But he couldn't help him. Amen. And in the story of the grapes of wrath, in that journey to California, amen, they took on the journey a preacher that had once preached holiness, the gospel, from Oklahoma who was backslid. When somebody died on the trip, they asked him to pray and say something over the grave. And he said, "I ain't a preacher no more. I don't pray no more." Amen. If you go to a backslider, another backslider of comfort, you're going to get in trouble. Get help. Go to a Holy Ghost church where the power of God's moving. Get an old-fashioned revival where a man that prays and seeks God is preaching the Word of God. Hallelujah. And get help from the Lord. Amen. Get help. Get good books, good periodicals, Holy Ghost books, holiness writings. Thank God, inspired writings. You may have to grab a while in your weakness and research a little and probe a little till you get a hold of something that reaches out and grabs you. But after a while, you'll get a hold of something that'll help you. Amen. Paul in his last hour told Timothy, bring the parchments. Good books are important. Good things to read are helpful. One reason we're in the United States of America and in the church losing the battle with our people and our children. Our children are not reading the Bible. They could care less about Sunday school. Amen. Amen. As we came back, 4 o'clock in the morning, almost back home, listening to the radio, a talk show. A man was giving a quiz. Amen. Another man and another woman were on two different telephones. One of them would win the contest. Amen. He asked a question as he, at random, wandered around through history and sports and entertainment to ask various questions. Amen. He sprung this one on them. Who was the father in the Bible of Solomon? Neither the man nor the woman knew who Solomon's daddy was. Amen. They went on with the quiz. He asked all kinds of questions about O.J. Simpson and Nicole. She knew everything about both of them. She answered every question without exception. She knew all their kinfolks. That's what she'd been feeding on. That's what she'd been eating. She didn't know who Solomon's daddy was. But she knew everything about the Simpson trials. Amen. She, incidentally, was better than the man. But he didn't know who Solomon's daddy was either. Can you imagine in this United States of America with the most knowledge ever compiled by a civilization at our fingertips, computers and everything else, amen, they did not know. Did you know the common man on the street don't know much about the Bible? Amen. Oh, they can quote you all those old chimney corner scriptures. Charity begins at home. And so they don't intend to come to church because charity begins at home. They don't intend to give anything to the gospel of the church because, quote, the Bible says charity begins at home. Amen. One fellow I was discussing things with, amen, he said, the Bible says charity begins at home. I said, the Bible don't say that. So don't tell me the Bible don't say that, as he doubled up his fists. Amen. Oh, yes. We know all the little chimney corner scriptures that justify us in our sins. But we don't know those scriptures that'll save us from them. Amen. Get help. Praise God. What kind of help? Preaching. The right kind of preaching. Praise God. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Praise God. You're about to win the war with your mind. You're going to overcome. You're going to make it if you'll get the right kind of help But if you fill your mind with the wrong stuff, you're asking for it. Amen. Pray. Seek the Lord. When you fail God, when you think wrong, do wrong, or give lip service to your wrong meditations, your pride, your hatred, your murders, your covetousness, whatever it is, and you begin to give expression to it, repent quickly. Don't let it build a nest. Don't let it even leave a footprint on your mind. Repent quickly. Amen. One of my most consistent prayers has been through the years, God, forgive me for such thoughts. And when I get to where I let them go and don't pray that way, look out. Amen. The best insurance is to be a good repenter, quick repenter. Call on God. Amen. And help's on the way. Hold the fort. Praise God. Help's on the way. Stand with me as they sing, and let's come around the altar and let's seek God for the help we want, the help we seek, the overcoming power, the spirituality we need to be an overcomer for Christ. Praise God. Come on, John.